Well, this morning we start a five-part message series that we're calling Healthy, a healthy mind, healthy body, and healthy spirit. And we're going to start out today with this idea of storm clouds that can sometimes hover over us, dark times where we may feel hopeless and not know exactly what to do. And as we think about dark times, I want to share with you a verse from the 57th Psalm, and then words from Jesus found in Matthew 11, which I'm going to read from both the Good News Translation and the Message paraphrase. First, from Psalm 57:1, we read this: "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful because I come to you for safety. In the shadow of your wings, I find protection until the raging storms are over." And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, we read this: "Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light." And the Message paraphrase puts it this way: "Are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, no matter where we are in our life, happy or hurting, sad or full of joy, no matter where we are, we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to us through these words of faith and to guide us that we might gain strength and hope for today and for the days to come. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, when I was growing up, there was this song that we used to sing at church camp as we gathered around the campfire at night, and it went like this: "I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, deep in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart." Now, how many of you have heard this before? Yeah? And how many of you hope that you never hear me sing again? I'm actually auditioning for the choir. What do you say, choir? Really? I thought they had higher taste than that. Well, all right. Well, can I just say that? Especially the chorus part, it's not true. It's not true. We can have joy, but it doesn't always mean we're happy. We can have joy that's deep down in our heart, but it doesn't mean we're always happy. Because you see, there are many people who earnestly seek to follow Jesus who aren't always happy, and I'm one of them. People who struggle, people who face incredibly challenging circumstances like depression and anxiety, mental health issues, some dealing with family members who are suffering. Some are living with circumstances that really make it hard to function at all. And while some folks attempt to either live in denial and pretend everything's great, some hide their pain behind the veneer of religious platitudes. But my sense is that a healthy faith in Christ and an in-depth understanding of Scripture helps us to understand that struggles are real and that hope comes not from living in denial, but from realistically facing darkness. One of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament, King David of Israel, is described in 1 Samuel 13 as a man after God's own heart. That's a pretty high endorsement. Yet David often found himself troubled and battling deep despair. In many of the Psalms, he writes of his anguish and his loneliness and his fear of the enemy and his challenges with sin and the guilt he struggled with because of it. And we read of the magnitude of his grief in 2 Samuel 12, where he struggles with his son's illness, which ended in death. It's there that we read that David begged God to spare the child, and as he did, he refused to eat anything. And every night he went to his room and spent the night lying on the floor and weeping. His advisors tried to make him get up and eat, but he refused any food they brought to him. Sounds like he was depressed. In other places, David's honesty with his own weakness brings him hope. From Psalm 38:4, we read, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." And from Psalm 42, we read where David says, "Why are you downcast?" He's talking to himself. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." We read where the great prophet Elijah was discouraged and weary and afraid. After great spiritual victories over the prophets of Baal, this man of amazing faith in God became overwhelmed with fear and ran for his life far away from the threats of Jezebel. And there in the desert, he sat down and he prayed. He was defeated and worn out. In 1 Kings 19, we read this. This is Elijah. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Many of us know the story of Job. Job suffered through great loss, devastation, physical illness. This righteous man who always sought to follow God lost literally everything. So great was his suffering and tragedy that even his own wife said, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Isn't it wonderful to have a supportive spouse? Though Job maintained his faithfulness to God throughout his life, he still struggled deeply with physical and emotional pain. Listen to his agony recorded in Job 3. "Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb?" That's pretty sunny. "I have no peace, no quietness, no rest, but only turmoil." And in Job 10, we read, "I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out of the bitterness of my soul." The great prophet Jeremiah wrestled with great loneliness, feelings of defeat, and insecurity. He was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah suffered from constant rejection by the people he loved and reached out to. God had called him to preach, yet forbid him to marry and have children. He lived alone. He ministered alone. He was poor. He was ridiculed. He was rejected by his people. And in the midst of it all, he displayed great spiritual faith and strength. And yet, we also see his honesty as he wrestled with despair and a great sense of failure. In Jeremiah 20, we read, "Cursed be the day I was born. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in such shame?" And even Jesus himself was deeply anguished over what laid before him as he faced the cross. He knew what was to come. He knew that God had called him to a journey of great suffering. He knew what he must do in order to be faithful to his call. Isaiah prophesied that Christ would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In the garden, before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus prayed all alone. And the Bible says that his anguish was so great that he sweat drops of blood. Here's my point. The reality is that very few of us go through life without facing dark clouds that cause us to live with fear and anxiety and to question even our deepest held convictions. It is true, many of us, many of, if not all, of the great characters of the Bible we read about suffered with challenges. Bad things happen. Storm clouds come. And sometimes they're with us throughout our entire life. Illness, mental illness, addictions, accidents, war, betrayal. No matter how blameless or innocent we might be in this world that's removed far from the garden God created, chances are we're not going to go unscathed. One of the earliest memories I have of experiencing pain, emotional pain, was when I was a little kid in kindergarten. I knew something was wrong when my mother came into my bedroom at 4 a.m. and scooped me up and took me and my brother and my sister to our next door neighbors. It wasn't until later that afternoon that I had any idea of what was going on. And even then, I don't think I fully grasped the enormity of what had taken place. My mother's sister, Mary, whom my grandparents adopted when my mother was in her 20s, had been murdered. And she was murdered by her husband, Phil, who also shot and killed my four-year-old cousin. I was five, he was four. My four-year-old cousin, Stevie, and then killed himself. My Uncle Phil had a gambling addiction. My mom and dad had met with him on a number of occasions and counseled them and connected them with therapists that worked with gambling addictions. But one night, my Uncle Phil snapped, coming home drunk with a gun. And he went into my cousin's bedroom and shot him while he was sleeping in bed. Then went into the bathroom where my aunt was taking a shower, shot her before pointing the gun at his head and pulling the trigger. Neighbors heard the gunshots, called the police. Soon the detectives were on the scene and my dad was called. My dad was police chief back then, and whenever there was a homicide in town, he always went to the scene no matter what time. When he got the call and he heard the address, he knew. He had a pit in his stomach. So he went over to their townhouse and walked in and saw all the carnage. And after being on the scene for several hours, he went to inform my mom. And then they took my brother, sister, and I to our neighbors, and then I went to my grandparents' house where they told them the horrible news. I can remember this, going to the funeral home with my family and seeing my cousin Stevie laying in a casket beside his mother's casket. His father was in a separate room down the hall where their family grieved separately. And I don't think I realized what was going on, but my mother, who was always skinny, started losing tons and tons of weight. And my grandmother was hospitalized for what they called back then a nervous breakdown. And you could just sense that for several years, things were not the same. And my mother and grandmother especially became more quiet and solemn. It was a very, very dark period of time in our family. In the summer between my sophomore and junior year of college, my father, who was very active, a swimmer, tennis player, had a heart attack while he was mowing the lawn. He went into a coma for 3 months and died of pneumonia. Still has to be one of the most difficult things I've ever faced, because he was kind of a larger-than-life guy and a rock to our family and even our community. And for the next 2 years, I dealt with bouts of depression. I was a resident assistant on campus, very active, but I found myself withdrawing from people, sleeping a lot, struggling to keep up with my academic work. And the dean of students, who I worked for as an RA, pulled me aside and connected me with a counselor, and I took part in a group of students who had lost their parents. Game changer. In 1989, 10 months after my daughter Laura was born, my wife and I were in a car accident. We were hit head-on by a drunk driver who was doing 70 miles an hour when he hit us. And Laura survived without a scratch. I was pretty banged up, but not anything broken. But my wife hit the windshield with great force and ended up with a severe concussion. And from that moment on, she had a dramatic personality change. 3 months after the accident, she realized that something was deeply wrong, and she checked herself into a mental health facility. When she checked out, she shared with me that she had been sexually abused as a child by her father and a number of other men. My wife, who happened to be an MSW therapist who worked with sexual abuse victims, had no memories whatsoever of the abuse until after the accident, and then they came rushing back. Her father, who I really liked a lot and respected, CFO of a middle-sized company in Indianapolis, he was an active layperson in his church, president of the Lutheran Church Council of Indiana for several years, highly regarded, highly respected. It made it difficult to believe that such a thing could happen. But what happened over the next 2 years can only be described as watching a train wreck unfold in slow motion. I was fortunate to be serving a church that at the time walked with me and supported me, was there for me. The senior minister I worked with was incredibly helpful to me as I walked through an unbelievable storm. But I knew my life had changed forever. I was suddenly a single parent. My career path changed dramatically. As a custodial parent, I was limited to staying in the Detroit area. And in the eyes of many churches, I was damaged goods. Divorced, no matter what the circumstances, many congregations would no longer consider me fit to serve as their pastor. Sometimes churches can be incredibly judgmental. And I'm sure that makes Jesus sad, because it's supposed to be a place that brings hope to people, not piling on. So after a few years of healing, I accepted a pastor at a church nobody wanted to go to because it was going to close its doors. But over time, the darkness dissipated and new things started taking place in my life. And I found a wonderful wife who became an incredible stepmom. And I found a new normal. But it took a while. Now, I'm telling you these stories not because I want your sympathy, but I want you to know that I know something about storm clouds. Been there. Done that. And over 40 years of ministry, I've walked beside a whole lot of people who've gone through some unbelievable storms, many of them far worse than what I've just talked about. I remember the first funeral I ever did. It was with young couple that worked in our youth group lost their infant daughter to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. One of the kids in our youth group, kid that I really thought of the world of. He's captain of the football team, just a real go-getter. And when 9/11 happened, he signed up to serve in the Marines and went to Afghanistan. And his Humvee was hit by an IED. And after surviving for about 3 months with severe burns, infection took over his 23-year-old body. He was the only son of his parents. And don't know how I kept my composure at that funeral. There have been a number of traumatic events in the lives of our members here in the last 11 years where I've served here. Funerals that have been gut-wrenching. There have been situations and circumstances that people have faced that are incredibly dark. No easy solutions. But we walk with them because that's who we are. I wish I had some magic dust that I could throw around and make things all better, but there's no magic dust. But we do have the gift of faith, which helps us to hold on even during the darkest storms. You know, I've never figured out how to distance myself from the emotional pain that comes with walking with people, and I never want to. When we help people carry their burdens, it becomes a burden that we carry and share as well. As Scripture says, we weep with those who weep. For you see, storm clouds are part of life in an imperfect world that few of us can avoid. And some of us have experienced far more than seems fair. Well, one of the quotes from one of my favorite books of all times, The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck, puts it this way. Life is difficult. This is a great truth. It is a great truth because once we truly are aware of this, we can transcend it. Once we know life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, life is no longer difficult, because once it's accepted, the fact that it is difficult no longer matters. Now let me close with this perspective, which comes from being a person of faith, follower of Christ. When storm clouds hit, when storm clouds hover, we do not believe in a God who always instantaneously rescues us. We do not ignore or deny the pain. We embrace it with a faith that God walks with us step by step in the darkness, no matter how dark it might be. Sometimes when we get knocked flat, the only thing we can do is take one small step forward. Take one day or even 1 hour at a time and trust that God is with us no matter how far away God may seem at the time. Psalm 34 puts it this way: the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." As followers of Jesus, as students of Jesus, we should know that walking with faith is not about being happy all the time, but it's about a profound hope that quiets our fears and lightens our loads, even as storm clouds hover. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, help us to walk through the dark times that we face, knowing that you love us and you walk beside us. While we pray to be removed from our pain, help us to realize that you are there in the midst of all that we experience. Speak to us through the earthquake, wind, and fire, O still, small voice of calm. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.